Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
All right, well, you can take your seats, and we just want to, I want to give you a bit of a challenge from God's Word this morning, and thank the Lord for His Word. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. And I just want to give a biblical frame and foundation for what we're doing today as a house in terms of, you know, a bit of an abbreviated worship service so that we can move into fellowship and connection with one another. And I just want to say that is even found in the book of Acts, not my text this morning, but Acts chapter 2, verse 42 talks about how the early church was devoted, yes, to prayer and the apostles' teaching, but also to fellowship and breaking bread together. And there's something spiritual that happens in actually moving toward one another as a local church family and doing life together, as we say. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Let me read this to you, and then we're just going to unpack it quickly. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So Peter says the end of all things is near. Now we know that this was Peter's conviction because he actually preached on the day of Pentecost when those 120 believers were gathered in the upper room. They received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They received that infilling, tongues of fire, other languages that they did not know, and a boldness to preach and declare God's word. And that very first sermon that Peter, who before the transformation of the Holy Spirit on his life, 6 weeks earlier denied Christ while he was being put on trial. And now here's Peter full of the Holy Spirit standing on a street corner in the middle of a Jewish market and a Jewish festival, and he's declaring, this is what the prophet Joel, what is he talking about? This outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what the prophet Joel spoke of in Joel 2. In the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Peter said that a number of years before he put pen to paper under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, listen, the end of all things is near. Now, if this was Peter's revelation 2,000 years ago, how much nearer to the closing of human history are we today, some 2,000 years later? And so it doesn't mean that the timing is off. What it means is that we're in a window that is closing. And we are to live with a fervent intentionality that is rooted to the return of Christ and the closing of human history. That's what Paul says. Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Because Jesus is coming back soon, because human history is culminating, and again, we're not trying to preoccupy ourselves with a prediction of timeline, but we know we're in the closing days of human history, and what Peter says is we therefore need to live in light of the end of all things. That there are behaviors that we want to engage in so that we can maximize the time we have left. I'm not saying this is the word of the Lord. I'm saying, what if you consider, if I told you that the end of all things was in 365 days, what would you do? There's a window of time that we're in that Peter wants us to bring that frame of thought into our lifestyle. Because History is closing, and Jesus is coming back. And we've spent a number of weeks in the book of Revelation contemplating the victories of Jesus that have already been accomplished and that are yet to be rolled out. And in light of that, how are we to live? I want to say to you, my conviction is this. I would want to be plugged into what Jesus is building here on earth. And we don't have to guess at what that is. Jesus is building his church. And the expression of that that we need to actually practically and spiritually lay hold of is the local church expression. Otherwise, our concept of church can be broad and varied in ways that actually miss the clear instruction of Scripture. The local church is not a mystery. The local church was a mystery. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 3. It was a mystery that is now revealed, and what God is doing through the local church is he's rebuking powers and principalities and establishing something profound here that you can actually see people and know people that are a part of it. This is a profoundly spiritual. We're not just an organization. We're the body of Christ. And so our passion for the church that Jesus is building isn't just out there somewhere, but it's right here down these rows and in this room. This is the local church that Jesus is building. We're not the only church, but we latch on where the Lord has given us grace to be planted. The local church is the core expression of Jesus' passion. And that's what he's building on earth. He's building us a home in heaven, and he's building his church here on earth. And we get to be a part of it. And so how do we get plugged in? Practically speaking, how do we get plugged in to what eternal matters eternally? Well, the text that we just read, you know, Peter says, the end of all things is near, therefore be self-controlled and clear-minded so you can pray. Love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Each one of you should use your gifts to serve others. Listen to what I'm saying right here. This text does not say the end of all things is near. Find someone to pray for you. It doesn't say the end of all things is near. Find people that love you. Amen. It doesn't say the end of all things is near. Find people that will be hospitable to you. Find people that will serve you. That's not what it says. The text calls each one of us, you and me, the end of all things is near. Therefore, you and I, we need to pray. The end of all things is near. Therefore, we need to love one another deeply. We need to be hospitable without grumbling. Amen. On Facebook too? Yes. We need to use our gifts to serve one another. So hear me. The local church, this local church, is made up of people. And we want to be a church that is made up of people who live out these values. Not aspirationally, but functionally, like practically doing it. That's why we pause once a year on this big day to really make sure that if you're new, you get plugged in and you don't keep talking about being a new person a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now. That you take ownership. Can I say this? You take ownership for your level of connection in the house. That's biblical. Peter doesn't say find the people that will pray for you and love you and serve you and be hospitable to you. In other words, you don't rank a church on its friendliness. The level of friendliness in this church is up to you. Okay. So, like we're the church? Yes. So if you're the church, we all take this on. And listen, as we all take this on, when you need prayer, there's praying people. When you need hospitality, there's hospitable people. When you need someone gift that you don't have, there's someone ready to serve you with the gift that you need because they carry it, right? But it's not consumer-oriented, which I'm sorry, not sorry. I have to say it and call it out in this way because we do live in North America. We do kind of come from this consumeristic worldview where we church shop. And where we go, I like that, and I take my kids here for that, and then I go over here for this for me, and then I take a little of this online, and I mix it all together, and I'm a disciple. It's like, no. Jesus isn't building that scattering. He's building the gathering. That's what church means. That's what church means. Ecclesia, people called out from their homes into a corporate gathering. There is something that God does when we come together. And when we take it upon ourselves to be a praying person, a hospitable, friendly person without grumbling, someone that serves with our gifts. So let me say this to you. You have gifts, and they are needed in the house. That's why you're here. You have gifts that you're not here to be served, although that is a part of a hospitable culture. You will be served while you're here. But as you serve, what you'll find is a deeper level of connection. All of us feel more connected when we are serving and contributing in some way. And so we want to be the church that fulfills what Peter says, in light of the end of all things, these are the things. So he doesn't say, not only does he not say, like, you got to find someone to do this stuff for you, but he doesn't say the end of all things is near, therefore panic and post a lot of angry things or point out problems or... What we're to do is actually practically grow in love, hospitality, prayer, and serving one another. That's the most effective way to live ready for the return of Christ. So we want to be a church that prays. Amen? And so I want to remind you that we pray in this sanctuary every Sunday morning. We come together in this room at 8:15, and we call on God for this local church family. There are ways to get connected, and you'll see that out in the ministry of Walton Mall, ways to get connected. There's the Facebook prayer group. There's the online prayer chain. There's monthly prayer meetings that we do, and more prayer initiatives that we're looking to roll out in the new year. There's also something new starting this year, and you'll see it up in the gym. Ange Gooby is actually giving leadership to a new initiative that Alpha is doing across Canada, and it is called Made for This, and it is praying for every high school in our region. And we're going to intentionally pray for our schools. You know what? It's good wisdom to not just curse the darkness, but to light a candle. And I believe that prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do. And so, if you've got kids, get in on this prayer group. But even if you don't and you've got a burden for the next generation, could we pray together? Wouldn't it be amazing if Lake Mount just grabbed a hold of that and we just started praying for schools and we started seeing God shake the foundations of things that need to be shook and start to build some righteousness in and see God move in our schools? I really believe this is a God initiative, and so I want you to look for that. We want to be a church that prays. We want to be a church that loves each other deeply. And again, we talk about this as doing life together. This is in our core values of being a church that, you know, is focused on relationship and moving together. And so life groups and serve opportunities are a great way to do that. There's tons of ways to plug in and get connected in life groups. We're launching something new in life groups this year as well, on top of all of the varied groups that have different studies and focuses and maybe interest groups. We're also launching a whole new, we built it ourselves, a whole series for men and a whole series for women, using some of the gifted teachers from within our house, doing our own video curriculum that can be hosted and facilitated all across the geographical reach of Lake Mount Worship Center. And so in addition to whatever other group you might want to get into, wouldn't it be amazing if all of our men got into a group and all of our women got into a group and we really start to go after God together in the Word and go after God together so that we can really build those strong connections. And so that's an exciting rollout. You'll see that up there as well. Again, we want to be a church that is hospitable and kind. And as I already said, the friendliness of this church family depends on you. And I'm saying that from the front, but what I mean is it depends on me. But if I said it that way, you're like, that's right, Pastor, you're not very friendly. I don't mean depends on me. I mean it depends on us. That we take ownership of, like, if everyone, this is the grid that I think is helpful for us. If everyone was as friendly as you are, how friendly is the church? So instead of thinking of who said hi to me, who did you say hi to? Right? And making those types of intentional connections. It's just a little switch, but I think that's what Peter is calling us to, taking ownership of our individual expressions in the life of this church. That's what makes up the life of this church, how we connect and relate to one another. And so we want to be a church where, again, as Peter says, that we use our gifts to serve each other. Can I just say this to you? This is why God gave you gifts. The whole reason God gave you gifts is so that you could serve people with them. Not so that we can go, I'm gifted. You have no idea how gifted I am because I don't use them. You should read my blog. I'm gifted. Okay? Listen again, verse 11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Can I just give you my conviction on that? I think there's strength or grace that is activated when your gifts are in use that isn't otherwise activated, because what's the point? It like the gift needs to be used to experience the strength of God on it. And so what I'm trying to convey to you from God's word, why we're kind of spinning the wagons here today to do what we're doing and pull together. It's not just a short Sunday and hit the parking lot. Get up to the gym, put the name badge on, make sure it's your real name. Okay? And what I'm saying is that this is a church family. And we have to kind of break down the larger into the individual and connection with one another. And here's the thing. There's no passengers. We all get to serve. And there's gifts in you for that purpose. There may be some areas of service, and we often say this in our newcomers lunch. There may be areas that you might think, how come this church doesn't fill in the blank? How come we're not focused on this? Or we don't do that or whatever. Has it ever occurred to you, maybe because you're thinking it but not doing it, that maybe your idea, bringing it to leadership and letting that get woven into the life of the house, perhaps there are areas that we haven't even touched yet because you've got an area that God has graced you with that is meant to be woven in to the strength of this house. What I'm saying is your gifts are needed in this church. And you're each one of you, you're a valued part of this church family. And what happens today on the big day, it starts with you. And you can make a difference in someone's life today. You can make a difference in someone's life this year. And so what I'm saying today is an invitation. It's not pressure. And it's not a heavy rebuke or something. It's saying, listen, we get to, this is the language we use in the interns. We get to do this. We get to serve one another. We get to pull together. And as we do that collectively as a church family, I believe God's going to strengthen the ties that bind. And Jesus said that the world will know we are his disciples because of our love for one another. And I believe that's such a great opportunity for us today. So we're launching all kinds of groups today, all kinds of serve opportunities. And we're going to turn you loose to that in a few moments. But first, we're going to have lunch in here. Okay? Don't get too excited. But I know it's 10 in the morning, but you came early, so this is what's happening. Okay? And you better eat it. Okay, so last year we tried these egg bites and they were not a hit because they were cold and that's weird. So what we're doing is, I know it's 10 in the morning, but just get excited. We're going to have sausages, okay? And so the food is coming your way. And so I'm going to ask the team that's ready to serve if they would come and do that. And you basically just stay where you are, like the offering plate going by, and instead of putting something in, take a sausage out, okay? And if you're here and you, for whatever reason, you don't eat pork, just let someone know. And we have some chicken as well, all right? And that's what we're going to do. So can we just pray over the food and pray over this time of connection and pray that God will help us? So, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that is in this house. We thank you for a new season. Father, I pray that the people on the furthest edges of Lake Mount, Lord, would find their way into the middle and find their way into connection. I pray that, Lord, each one of us would not discount the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to step up and serve with what we have. I pray, Lord, for true, deep connection to be built all over this church family today. I ask that you'd bless this food and our time together in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.